Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products on 1010XL. Now your hosts, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, and Blythe Brumley.
The gang is back together for as long as Donna Murphy will last. Thanks to Frank Frangie, the Frank Frangie Show, or the Frangie Show. It used to be the Frank Frangie Show. Now it's just the Frangie Show. On from 3 to 6 or 3 to 7, Monday through Friday. They, of course, have Amanda Borges on with them. Then she gets to come hang out with us. We are live at Empire City Gastropub. If you are wondering where that is, it's at the corner, basically, of Atlantic and San Pablo. There's a giant shopping center here with Fresh Market and
Retro
Mart.
Fitness.
And Retro Fitness is right next to us. You're familiar with them. You did a whole workout day with them one day, right?
Yeah, I came for their retro day, and it's funny because I saw David Garrard. For those who don't know, he owns Retro Fitness, and I saw him at one of the tailgates on Sunday for the game, and he's like, "Oh, we're having another retro day if you want to come out." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, sure."
No, this is gonna be fun.
No, I'll come out. It is a blast because they do awesome things. I'm just a wimp when it comes to what they do because they're intense. They're really intense.
Yes. So that's where we're located. There are several specials. I'm going to start with the buy one, get one free appetizers. There's rice cakes, lumpia, beer battered pork belly, pigs in a blanket called Piggies in a Blanket here, wings, Jacksonville poutine. I don't know exactly the take on that, but I'm excited.
You don't know
to
what poutine
out.
Is?
No,
you don't remember
don't
we talked about this?
Exact Jacksonville take on poutine.
Got it.
Every
got
place
it.
Has a different take on
yeah.
it. And then beer tart, and I bet that's delicious as well. We just got the lumpia and the piggies in a blanket, uh-huh. so we're going to dive into those. And if you're watching on Periscope, you get to see the pigs in a blanket live.
Mm-hmm.
And then also $3.50 craft pints. So all draft craft pints are $3.50. All right, ladies, let's get the Tuesday started with overreactions from the Jags and the Bengals. D-Murph, I'll start with you.
Overreaction is the team stinks. I don't want to believe that that's what's going to be out as a product for this season. So my overreaction is, oh, really? Crap, you know? But I will sit there and still hound, and I even went in. Jeff Lagerman was on Jaguars today.
Today.
And I said, I have a football question for you, and this was off air. I go, am I the only one that thinks Brian Walters should be used more? I go, I know I'm on this little Walters train, and, you know, we were talking about it. He goes, he's the one wide receiver, obviously, other than the A-team, that the quarterbacks trust. But will they take and keep him as one that they trust? So that, for me, we saw Henny keep going to him in the second half, and he's just... He is my guy, and I just hope somehow he ends up on this team.
I love how Donna clings to him. I just love that. I love how you have one guy and you're just sticking with him.
I'm sticking with the Walters.
What did Lug say when you asked him?
That he said he's the, besides the A team,
okay,
he's the one wide receiver that they trust.
Yeah.
Will they utilize him that way? Will they even keep him? That's how it ended.
Okay,
that's how
I'm sure made you very nervous.
Yes, but I know another team that would scoop him up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, let's not let that happen.
You smile ear to ear.
I know.
Blythe, what about you?
My overreaction was Gus has got to go. And I know that's not the sentiment to have right now. We should let him breathe a little bit during the season. It's year four of his rebuild. But I sent out this stat the other night after the game, and the Jaguars have 37 penalties for 339 yards throughout three preseason games,
yeah.
which is sort of crazy whenever you think about the average last year for penalties called in an NFL game was 13.8 for both teams. So the fact that we're accumulating that on our own, just it sort of says to me that we're not disciplined yet. We still have a lot of kinks to work out. And I'm hoping that gets worked out before we face off against the Packers.
Amanda?
Well, I'm not sure that this is really an overreaction because I know that it is an actual concern of the team. But with the offensive line, there have been question marks throughout all of preseason and the offseason as well. Obviously, Gus announced officially today that it will be Jokel at guard and Beecham at tackle. But a lot of people were just up in arms about how terrible the offensive line is. But remember, this was the first game Kelvin Beachum played in as left tackle with the Jaguars, and so you have to take that into consideration. It was also the first game that Joko played at guard, so did it look pretty? No, but it was the first game together. It will take some time to gel. I'm not on the train that I think that everything on the offensive line, especially on the left side, will be perfect by week one when the Packers come, because it won't be perfect by any means, but I don't think it will be as bad as it was on Sunday night against the Bengals.
And we know they're not going to face the likes of Geno Atkins every week.
Right.
But
yeah,
it didn't help that when you're at home watching the game, you know, even Chris Collinsworth was calling out Jokel on almost every play.
Right.
So we all saw it, and then he's seeing it going, well, there he is on his butt again.
There he is, yeah.
We did get
some clarity throughout the week and today. Linder stepped on his foot one time. And some people hear this as excuses,
right,
but it did happen. And Gus was really complimentary today about how he plays in space, and they believe in him. So that should say something to the fans that they believe that he can get the job done there. At guard.
Unless the fans have stopped trusting in the coaching staff, and then it just sends them down that spiral of things are going to be just the same as last year. And that was my biggest overreaction as I watched the game. It was, our defense is not improved. And I know it is on paper.
Their talent's there.
But yet, watching them, they were making the same mistakes that they have in the past. And Tyler Eifert, the tight end for the Bengals, wasn't even playing. So the biggest weapon that most teams have had in the past against the Jags defense are tight ends. We can't usually match up against them, and our linebackers can't cover them. And yet, Eifert wasn't even out there. So.
And A.J. Green got hurt almost right away.
He did.
Yeah.
The one obviously huge takeaway from the entire preseason thus far is that the Jags didn't suffer any major injuries. Tayshawn Gibson did suffer a bit of a knee injury on Sunday night. But I think overall the Jags escaped unscathed. But I think one of the things that I look forward to asking Malik Jackson is explain to us why you guys are definitely going to be better against the Packers, because I do believe that they will perform much better than they did against the Bengals. But why? Like, what are we going to see that maybe fans didn't get to see? And certainly the Jags coaching staff changed stuff up a bit and started Yannick Ngakoue over Dante Fowler at Leo, and, you know, different positions also had injuries like Roy Miller and things like that. So I think we will see an improved team, but I had to kind of tell myself, like, stop shouting about the defense. It's not going to be the end of the world yet. And it is, again, the same things we said in week one and two, which is, wait, the Jags look good. Hold on, it's just preseason. We need to say when the Jags don't look great. Hold on, it's just preseason. Penalties are certainly a scary thing, but at the same time, they are still working the kinks, so I'd like to think that that's going to get worked out.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. All right, so before we get too far, Donna, we are going to address the Colin Kaepernick situation, the fact that he did not stand up for the national anthem in the second half of the show, but your husband is in the military, active duty for the Navy, so I wanted you to address it from your perspective.
When I first read it, there was so much anger that went over me that I was very happy this didn't happen today, because I would not be able to be filtered right now. So it literally kept me up at night because I was so angry thinking about what I would do if I was the 49ers, what I would do if I was in the NFL, what I would do if I was a teammate. You know, to me, this was a slap in the face to both my father, who served in Vietnam, to my husband, who currently serves, and to also my brother, who is a policeman in West Virginia. So it was a slap to the face to my whole family. And I agree with what 95% of what everybody is saying. He was stupid, a moron. You name the word. And you can stand up for anything you want. You can go to the picket lines. You can barricade yourself. You can do whatever you want. Throw rallies. Do fundraisers. Donate money. You do not disrespect that flag and the national anthem. This is something the military has fought for. The code is to stand and respect everyone that has fought for your right to do whatever you want, to say whatever you want, but you need to respect that moment. And if I were anywhere near that facility of whatever stadium he's going to be at, I would send out every military member and every cop and have them stand in front of Kaepernick the entire game, and just stare at him. That's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing else.
Yeah. And we actually have some police officers here and some former military here who, if you heard those cheers, they were responding to Donna's comments.
Yes.
And that's why I wanted to make sure that your voice was heard before the rest of us have a chance to weigh in, because you are one of the first people that I thought of that I knew would have a strong reaction. And it is what I think is the correct reaction, but certainly we'll get to more of that a little
later. And there's a lot of crazy, I know there's a lot of reactions, and Tony Stewart got brought up today, you know, because of his reaction. And I think the overreaction was for people commenting on him and backlashing him. You know, he's gone through his troubles. I don't even like Tony Stewart. I am far from a Tony Stewart fan. But what he said was exactly right. And what everybody else has been saying is exactly right. You don't need to attack Tony Stewart because of what he said.
Yeah.
You agree with what he said. There's no need to attack him as well.
Right.
And that's what's interesting is so many different people have a chance to express their opinions in the social media day and age in so many different ways where they will sometimes get backlash, but they can also say it without necessarily needing a platform of being a media person.
Right.
So I know a couple of Jaguars, Prince Amukamara and Jared Audrick today, both weighed in on that. So we'll talk about that, like I said, in the second half of the show. Blythe, you want to tell everybody what the Twitter poll is tonight?
Sure. We just sent it out after three preseason games. What's your confidence level in the Jags beating the Packers on opening day? Is it 90% we got this, 50% because preseason doesn't mean anything, or is it 10% did you actually see that line? And you can vote now at Helmets and Heels on Twitter, which we've gotten a few responses so far, and it might get a little heated, I think.
Excellent. I can't wait. We'll, give you the results to that throughout the show. We'll also tell you how to win the Peterbrook Chocolate Heel tonight. You can text in the answer to our question on the 10XL text line driven by Duval Ford, and we've got studs and duds as well as how to win that Peterbrook Chocolate Heel all coming up next. We are live from Empire City Gastropub at the corner of Atlantic and San Pablo. Come out and say hi, and if you don't want to say hi to us, you can at least say hi to Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson, who will be joining us in about 15 to 20 minutes. You listen to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 10th and XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
So I've been informed that some people want to win this Peterbrook Chocolate Heel.
Oh.
So if you want to take a quick look at it before you try and win it, there it is in all its glory. This one in particular is worth about $90 million because it's going to the $90 million man, Malik Jackson, when he joins us in a little bit. But there's another one that we're going to give away via the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. This is by far the easiest question we've ever asked. So think about it and text it in. 641-1010. What's the most memorable college football game you've ever attended? That should be pretty easy, even if there's a lot of them in your life.
I can't
probably
answer that.
Yeah, Donna's out. But for college football fans, I'm sure there's one game that is the most memorable, whether that means your team won, your team lost. It was freezing conditions. It was the hottest game you've ever been to. Your water broke. I don't care.
Oh, wow.
Whatever it is, the most memorable college football game you've ever attended.
It's memorable.
Well, my friend Trace is here. She's pregnant, so that's where that inspiration came from. And, so text in to the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford to win the Peterbrook Chocolate Heel. We are Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Donna, Blythe, Amanda, and Lauren live with you at Empire City Gastropub, and it is now time for Studs and Duds. See what you got, D-Murph.
My stud is going to be the Jimmy Fund. The Jimmy Fund is something very near and dear to New Englanders. They have been doing it since 1948. It's very similar to what we know as the J Fund, where it's helping childhood kids with cancer, everything like that. And they do a telethon every year, 36 hours, on NESN. And they have raised over $2.6 million so far today.
Wow.
$2.6 million in one day. It's something they have been doing for years and years. So bravo to NESN and all of New England for raising that money.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. And our J Fund will be in November.
Yes.
Yes. Our radiothon, J Fund, yes. in November.
That's my favorite day.
Is it?
Working for this radio station, because last year was my first year doing it, and it was by far the best day I've ever had.
It's great, but heartbreaking.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. It's terrible hearing the stories, but it's just amazing what the community does in one day.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I loved it. As a host, I love it. As a producer, it was very difficult because there were times that you were literally just bawling and yet trying to look through your tears to do stuff, and then also you have to talk sometimes.
Right.
And that was hard for me, but I love it as a host. Yeah, getting to interview people. And by the way, today is Marissa Iyerner's birthday.
Nice.
We've had her on our show for two years now, survivor of cancer, local Jacksonvillian.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Marissa. All right, Blythe, who is your stud?
My stud is going to go to the Arizona Coyotes for hiring Dawn Brage. She's the second NHL female head coach, or not head coach, but as a full-time, she's a coach as a full-time skating instructor. When I was doing a little bit of Google searching, I found out that she was a figure skater background, and then she's worked in several different organizations, Calgary, Maple Leafs, but she was just recently hired on with the Arizona Coyotes. But after everyone was calling her the first female coach in the NHL, they actually went and somebody else did a little digging, and they said that Dawn is called the first, but the Islanders, Barbara Williams, was the first real coach, and she was hired back in 1977, and she's helped the Islanders win 4 Stanley Cups. So I kind of have two studs.
Wow, impressive.
So, but since then, Dawn Brage is the first one for the Arizona Coyotes, which I thought
impressive.
Was cool.
That's really cool. Wow.
The Arizona Coyotes is an NHL team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I looked that up. I thought it was the Phoenix Coyotes, and I was like, when did they change their name? 2014 is when they changed their name from Phoenix to Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was actually talking hockey today at the Back to Football luncheon.
Because that's appropriate.
Right. I mean, college football is starting this weekend, but let's just talk hockey, right?
But it's really a sense. They said that the women who have the figure skating backgrounds, they're highly skilled skaters, and that with the game becoming as fast as it has become, then that's her skill set and other figure skater skill sets are going to become even more vital going through the season.
Boy, it would be awesome to see Christy Yamaguchi in the NHL. That would be
as
so
a coach.
Great. Yeah,
that would be really cool,
right? I would love that.
Wow. I wonder. If
come on, Mighty Ducks.
All right, Amanda.
Okay, my stud is Travis Rudolph. He is a wide receiver for Florida State, and
found this story about an hour ago.
Who cares when I found?
Oh no, you're good. I'm just saying I paid attention.
Oh,
yeah.
You pay attention to?
I pay attention
my
to your
sharing.
To your retweeted.
Yeah.
Story.
Well, I actually had another stud, and then I went with this just because this really warmed my heart. A couple Florida State players went to a local school to visit with the kids, and there's this really sweet photo of a boy, and his mom shared a photo of him eating lunch with him at on Facebook. And there's a boy who has autism, and he eats lunch by himself almost every day. And there's this really sweet photo of Travis Rudolph just sitting and eating with him. And it's just really sweet because it just reminds you that it's the little things that matter. And, you know, to this kid, he might not even know that Travis Rudolph is a football player, but regardless, he had someone to sit with at lunch. And Travis Rudolph didn't even go out of his way to share it. Like, so it's not like he was doing it to try to get people to notice. Someone else noticed and
that's
took
cool.
a photo.
That's even
right,
better.
And sent it to the mom. And so that's how it's been circulating. So it's not like he took a selfie and whatever. So it was really sweet.
No, it is sweet. And I saw that and I was excited for you to find stuff like that because you always want to see the good in the college football players that either have attended or currently attend the university in which you either attended or support, at least.
Yeah.
You know, you always hear the bad stories, so it's always good to see
love
the good.
Love the good ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And so kudos to Travis. My story is the last story, I think, coming out of the Olympics. Piotr, which I'm going to assume we would translate to Peter, in English, or not in English, in English, in American English, at least. Let's see if I can get his last name. Malachowski. A discus thrower. I watched the discus during the Olympics, so I remembered this guy. He was the favorite to win, and then this German redhead came in and ended up winning the gold medal. But Peter basically got a silver medal. But what he did is he auctioned off his silver medal, and you may have heard this story on the drill. I had seen it already, captured it on my phone on Twitter, and then I heard them talking about it, and I was like, yay, it's making its waves out there. Mm-hmm. He auctioned off his silver medal in order to pay for surgery for a 3-year-old boy who had a retinoblastoma, which is cancer of the eye. And for someone who has had some eye problems, I know how scary it is to think of the fact that you may become blind. And obviously the 3-year-old doesn't realize what's happening, but his parents certainly do. Mm-hmm. Surgery was going to cost 126,000, but 84,000 had already been raised from one organization. So the richest couple in Poland purchased the silver medal, and now this little boy gets to have the surgery.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
So way to go,
so great.
Peter, Piotr, whatever your name is. Yeah. All right, let's get to the bad side of things. Who's your dad, Donna?
I mean, I guess we're collectively all agreeing that Kaepernick is the dud, so we're just going to pick somebody else?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that's good, because my dud before Kaepernick went insane was Tim Tebow.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but how arrogant of you to think that you can just go and walk on an MLB team. Do you know how many kids have to work through the minors and work through college and do all this? And he thinks, well, I'm just going to call a press conference. I'm going to throw. I'm going to run and bat. Who wants me? You arrogant, smug thing. Uh-uh. That is not how this world works. You aren't handed anything. You are not handed anything. And I just think it is so ridiculous that he thinks he is whatever's gift to athleticism. So, no, I don't agree with anything he's doing with
it. I think it's a publicity stunt.
I think it's ridiculous.
Through and through.
And shame
publicity
on,
stunt.
Shame on the Red Sox for even showing up to that clown fest.
It was like so more than the real stud, the Red Sox.
I heard that there was like 10 or 11 teams didn't even send a scout. And to not send a scout is like a huge deal that
they
you wouldn't even send a representative.
Teams.
Well, the fact that you have scouts all over the country and usually people that live, I think you did this trial in L.A., usually all the teams have a scout in L.A. And just to drive, to make the drive to check it out, spoke volumes that, you know, more than almost a dozen teams didn't send anybody.
And I know he's clickbait, and I clicked on that to see which teams were going, and I was mad when Red Sox. I was like, how dare you?
Okay, so to play devil's advocate, or really to play the what-if game, what if a team signs him and he goes into the minors, and for the next 3 years he's on a minor league team, and he puts in the blood, sweat, and the tears, and the traveling, and the bad food, and the peanut pay, which not that really affects him, but he's in there, and he has a fantastic time, and eventually...
If he is in the minors for 5 years, bravo.
Exactly. That will never happen.
Never happen.
Not even for a full season.
No.
But I'm saying, you'll revert your dud... If he does...
For 5 years.
Wow.
Okay. I want
for
5 years.
For half a season in the minors, I think is enough for me to reverse that. He won't do it.
I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying, like I said, if I ask you if that does happen, and if he does put in
it,
the work.
And I will make a public apology.
I don't think you need to do all that.
But you're going to wait 5 years for that?
5 years.
But don't you think, and I'm not one to stick up for Tim Tebow by any means, but don't you think he's thought about this already?
No. I think he literally thinks I am this good and I can start right now.
No.
I think it was all marketing.
A smart guy. He can't just walk onto an MLB team.
On his website, they're already selling autographed baseballs and bats.
Mm-hmm. I know. Listen, I'm not sticking up for the guy. Just saying.
So, no.
I think he's thought this through. I don't necessarily agree with what he's doing, but I think he knows the work he has to put in.
Shenanigans.
We'll see.
We will never see him at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville, playing for the Jacksonville
Suns. Will you go if he's playing for the Suns?
I will boo him.
See, I could see a team like Tampa Bay signing him just for the end of the season.
For marketing purposes.
Yeah. They'll sell some jerseys, they'll fill some butts in the seats, and he'll get his due. He'll get what he wanted.
Hit.
He won some press releases,
Donna's
and that's what he got.
Donna's going to go to the Suns game with a poster that says, "You were my dud."
You are always my dud.
You are my dud, not were my dud.
All right, Blythe, who you got?
My dud could be a stud, but it's kind of a dud. Jennifer Lopez. She dumped her longtime boyfriend.
They've been on and off.
But longtime boyfriend, on and off, regardless, for years, they've been dating. He wanted to go to the Conor McGregor fight, Nate Diaz, a couple weeks back. He went to the fight. She wanted him to come to a fundraiser event. He obviously went to the fight, and he found out that he was dumped via her website because he went to the fight.
That's such a J-Lo thing to do. Please see my website for our current relationship status.
That's so sad.
But
I really like her.
It's sad for him, but it's also for her. I could spin it in a way that if he doesn't want to go to an event with her, she could dump him, and there'll be 20 other guys lined up to go to that event with her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if he's been your longtime boyfriend, maybe let him go to one of the greatest UFC fights in history.
But yeah. That can't be the real reason. Maybe that was just
well, the internet told me it was, so that means it's true.
Of course, the internet's always right.
Bonjour.
TMZ told you, right?
I think TMZ actually
JLo wanted to get some marketing publicity for herself, and therefore...
Yeah, maybe she just wants to be single.
Maybe she'll start dating Tim Tebow.
I mean, I applaud her for it. Send that traffic to your website to find it out.
All right, Amanda, who's your dud?
My dud is very simple, and it's not a big deal. It's just really comical. Tom Brady is sporting a new haircut, and it's just fantastic. And when I say fantastic, I mean awful. Like, he looks
so
like
mean.
Justin Bieber.
No, he does
yes,
not.
Yes, he does.
Zach Morris.
That hair.
Oh,
that
so
hair.
Bad.
Yes, Zach Morris.
And you
hair.
All wonder why I have a thing for Jimmy G. Tom Brady can't get a decent haircut to save his
Shame
life.
Shame on you, man. Shame on you.
That's it.
By the way, can I just say,
yes,
I think Jacoby Brissett should be starting and not
Really?
Marla. Yes.
Okay.
Former Florida Gator who yes. transferred out of Florida. Way to go, Muschamp. All right. and finally, my dud. I had to give a lot of love to this particular school. 2 weeks ago when we had Mike Bennett on our show, he went to The Ohio State University. I was very glad that I was able to find a dud from Ohio State, and it's a double dud. Wide receiver Torrence Gibson, he was actually originally recruited to be a quarterback, but Ohio State's fine with that position. So they switched him to receiver, and he has been suspended for the season based off of just an unknown violation of the school's conduct code. Huh. Urban Meyer came out and said that he disagrees and it's not from the football team. So my dud is partially this guy, Torrence Gibson, for doing something to get suspended as a freshman for the entire season. That's dumb. But also Urban Meyer, in my opinion, with the way that college athletics is and the landscape nowadays, if a school suspends a player, I don't think the football coach should say, well, I don't agree with it. I think the football coach needs to go to the AD and say, blah, 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 whatever. And then if he still disagrees, do not say that publicly. You are causing a lot of tension between the president and the athletic director of the university and then your program when you come out and say that you don't agree with whatever it was. Obviously, it was something that may merited them deciding as an institution that he needed to be suspended.
But how surprised are you? Urban Meyer doesn't suspend anybody. Never.
He has actually, remember he kicked Noah Spence off the team and Noah Spence then went to
all I have in my
Kentucky.
All I have in my mind is Hernandez.
Yes, but he wasn't He didn't know necessarily all.
Oh, no, no.
I don't
know. No, no. If Tim Tebow was specifically asked to room with Hernandez on the road, he knew Hernandez was a bad guy.
And I'm not saying he didn't know he's a bad guy. I'm saying I don't think he would have kept him on the team if he really thought he was going to do some of the really...
Serial, terrible thing.
Right. I don't want to mention it as a little one's going by, some of the things it did. But yeah. So there are our studs and duds. We have another stud about to walk into the building, and I see some Tennessee fans walking in. I wonder who they're here for. That would be Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson, who is set to join us next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels built by Dreamfinders Homes live from Empire City Gastropub on 1010X on 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Can any of y'all name this band?
Jackson 5. What?
Do you know why Jordan's playing it?
I think I have a good guess.
Just in case people aren't paying attention, I just want to make sure that everyone's appreciating Jordan D'Armond's masterpiece pumping out of the speakers. Thank
she
you,
is wonderful.
Jordan. Blythe, we have quite a few people voting on the Twitter poll. Is that correct? At Helmets and Heels?
105 votes so far, and the poll's only been active for about 30 minutes.
Nice. So I think we're doing pretty good. And just so people know, remind everyone, if they want to weigh in, what the question is.
Go on over to at Helmets and Heels on Twitter, and you can vote on after 3 preseason games, what's your confidence level in the Jags beating the Packers? Is it 90%, 50%, or 10%? And it's pretty almost, I wouldn't say dead even, but between the 50% and 10%, people are not feeling the positive vibes.
Uh-oh.
So
what one game will do?
Exactly. What are your answers, ladies? 90%, 50%, or 10%?
I did 50%.
Yeah, I'm at 50%.
I went optimistic. I did 90.
I had a girl.
You see what this sickness does to you.
They can't possibly look like they did
last
week.
Some
they
sort just of can't. Medicine, right?
They just can't.
Yeah, I think I would go 50%. Not because of what we saw necessarily, but more just because all along we've known we're facing one of the best teams in the NFL with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
But it's going to be hot. You know.
You're right. They've never
They're not going to expect this new fast defense.
You're right.
It's Aaron Rodgers, Donna.
They don't even know what to do with the A team.
And I'll say yes, the Jaguars defensive coaching staff specifically did not put any sort of good blitzes or any sort of good coverages so that the Packers can see anything on film. So absolutely.
If it was high school, this is the tape they would give to the opposing coach. Here you go. This is what we're going to look like next week.
Yeah, certainly. And so as we await Malik Jackson, Jaguars defensive tackle, one quick story that I wanted to mention. I thought this was kind of funny. So Texas Tech's Cliff Kingsbury, he would be Kingsbury. He would be the kind of the hottest coach of college football, so to speak. Not necessarily for his job, but because of his looks. Well,
he looks like Ryan Gosling, for those who don't know what he looks like.
Correct. And he's only 37, so therefore he's always been, he's always been one of those coaches who has been on top of what's going on with his players and things like that. So he decided that it would be a smart move to catfish, and for his coaches to catfish his players on social media. So they are making up accounts with pictures of cute girls, and they are then tweeting at players to see if they can get them to follow them and then interact with them to then kind of see if the girls suggest a party or a night out, what the players will do. Do you agree or disagree with this manipulative type of social media coaching approach?
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's also embarrassing for the players, because a young college student who gets a DM from a cute little college girl isn't going to just ignore that.
Do you want to explain what a DM is to people?
A direct message?
Yep. Correct.
Okay.
Just in case people don't know.
People don't know, yeah. I don't know. I think it's funny, and I understand what he's trying to do. But you have to be careful, because what if a real girl is trying to message him and then he doesn't, you know, believe it? Nowadays, so many people meet on social media and online dating apps that I think catfishing obviously still exists, but it doesn't exist every single time it happens. But I do like it. I think it's a really brilliant idea.
I think it's kind of funny that the guy who's known as the hot coach, and he's posing shirtless with Playboy models and
he's doing that?
Years ago he did. Well, it was like 2 or 3 years ago. Last year he decided he doesn't want to be known as the hot coach anymore. But I find it a little funny that he's now the beacon of social media etiquette for Texas Tech. I still think it's funny, but I don't. I think it's a right at the border where they're going to cross the line at some point, and what's acceptable behavior to one person might not be acceptable behavior to another person. So I think it's just keep an eye on your guys, but I don't think you need to go as far as catfishing them and faking to be, you know, somebody that you're not.
Yeah.
It's also getting their hopes up. I mean, it's kind of, it's funny in a cruel way, but can't you do something like undercover student type of thing, you know, and bring them to where they need to go? Oh, hello.
Here he is.
I'm pretty sure they are just trying to monitor the students and their student athletes. And in this day and age, you have to be ahead of the game.
Right.
And they're being smart to make sure that they at least have eyes and ears in places they need to have eyes and ears.
Right.
At least that's my opinion.
It's almost like entrapment, though.
Yeah.
I guess they said that they have never done the actual catfishing. They've just been having the guys follow the girls so that way they can kind of be in the mix. But he wouldn't say that he would never do it. He just hasn't done it yet.
I think monitoring is different from interacting. If you're monitoring, it's one thing. If you're interacting, then I think that's different.
Right. You can make sure your coach isn't following you, but that 19-year-old, you know, sometimes it's different.
She gets a follow.
All right. Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson is very well well known around Jacksonville, and he's here. Say hello to everybody.
Thank you.
You know, we didn't get any clapping when we got here.
No, we know why. It's all for you.
They know you guys already. They're used to it. Everybody says what's up.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us, Malik, here at Empire City Gastro Pub at Atlantic and San Pablo. And this is a perfect opportunity to tell everybody that you'll have the Malik Jackson Show on from 12:30 to 1 every Tuesday on the Midday Chalk, brought to you by the personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah. You excited about that?
Yes, Farrah and Farrah has blessed me with this radio show on Tuesdays, and I just appreciate it. You know, try to give the fans a closer insight and talk to me and just ask me questions and see what's up. So I'm excited.
Are you nervous at all? You might get some tough questions.
Nah, I think I'll be okay. I'm ready for the tough questions, so
good.
I'll bring them on.
I guarantee we ask tougher questions here tonight than they ever do on the Midday Chalk.
A nice practice then.
Absolutely. They won't ask you about singing in the shower, which we might later. But don't worry, you don't have to answer that yet. Right now, we're going to get to some football questions.
We're getting personal. We're ready.
We will. Just dive in. We'll let you get settled first and answer some more X's and O's questions. Yeah. You know, I want to know, has our coaching staff ever picked your brain about things that you may have done in Denver that are different than here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, they've asked me, you know, a lot of people have just asked me things about, you know, what do we do, how do things go on, and just try to get an insight of what goes on in there, you know, and I like to share my experiences. I've been there for 4 years, and they have a great job, they do a great job running their organization, and we do here too, so it's a lot of the same similarities, but, you know, we won the Super Bowl, but I want to add myself, but they did just win the Super Bowl, so, you know, they want to see what do we do to win, go through that, because that's big. A lot of people don't get to do that. So it was awesome. But, yeah, I'd like to share my insight on what happened there.
What's been the most challenging part of adapting to Jacksonville, would you say?
I think it's just like the heat, like everybody else. You know, it's just the
how hot
it gets, especially
you
at
didn't
night.
Notice.
Yeah, especially at night. Like, I left all my sweaters and jackets back in L.A., so I was all shorts and short sleeve shirts for me.
Yeah. You scored your first touchdown in the Super Bowl 50 just this past year. Take me back to that moment where you see the ball and you're diving on it in the end zone. What's going through your mind?
Well, first when I got off, I forgot to play what I was supposed to do. But I got off and I saw Von turn the corner and pretty much have the perfect angle to him. And once I saw that, I kind of stopped a little bit and watched him do it, and then he ripped the ball out, and I saw just go get the ball, and I ran to the ball, beat DeMarcus Ware there. He was running fast, so that was pretty cool to beat him there and jump on it, you know, just celebrate with my guys, and it was fun to score the first touchdown, and I think I was the first ball to do it besides Jamal Lewis, I think. So that was pretty
dope.
That's
awesome.
Did you tell Von Miller thank you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I told Von Miller thank you for a lot of things this year. So he's helped me out a lot. Yeah.
Speaking of thank you, did Peyton Manning thank the whole defense for that Super Bowl? Be honest.
I think we all thanked each other. Because even though you might say, like, the offense didn't show up that year, I mean, they had to go out and score points. You know, they had to score more than the other team scored. So they did their job. Brock did a great job handling that team and getting them where we need to go while Peyton was out. And Peyton came in and managed the games and threw touchdowns. And the running game did their thing. And special teams did their thing. So it was a team thing. Look at
you.
Look at her.
She doesn't love Peyton Manning, if you can't tell.
I can tell. Okay.
Malik Jackson, Jaguars defensive tackle, joining us. Malik, you just mentioned a name, Brock Osweiler, who you'll get to go up against in the form of the Houston Texans this year. Are you excited you might get to smash his face into the ground?
Oh, of course. That's my favorite thing to do, is to smash people's face into the ground. No, I'm excited to play him because, you know, we see him in practice every day, and I see how good he can be, and I see him how good he is in the game, and watching him on the same sideline, but to be able to play against him twice a year in the division, you know, it's pretty awesome. So I'm excited to get after him. You know, I know they got a good team going in this year. I watched them in the preseason, so it should be exciting. It's going to be a good division this year, and I'm ready just to get after it and go. First, we got to worry about Atlanta, but I'm ready to go after it and start with Green Bay, just get the ball rolling.
Fans so skip over that fourth preseason game.
Oh, yeah. They do. Did you see the smile on his face when you mentioned smashing people's heads into the ground?
That's awesome. It makes me just grin in the air.
When they get up and there's that grass in their face mask. They have to pick
just
it out.
Drool and everything.
And they don't even know. And so their partner in crime has to be like, you have grass in your face mask. Yeah. CBS is showing everybody.
It's all, hey, as long as I'm, if the camera's in my face that close, I'm doing something good.
That's
so I'll take
true.
It. You know, I'll take it.
Malik, why is this defense a good fit for you?
I think just because they allow the three technique, or if the person who's playing that three technique, just to go and play. You know, they get to go up and still just create disruption, and they give you a lot of free reign. So, you know, it's good for me just to go out there and be able to do that. Just got to learn the defense, keep learning the defense, and learn what's going on behind me with the linebackers and safeties, and that'll help my game go and just go out there and let it loose. I'm excited to let it go against a real team, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you said earlier in the year, after you signed your big contract, that it was about getting paid, but you also said it was about taking care of your family and helping teams get better. I'm curious, how have you helped the Jaguars get better so far?
By experiences, showing them my experiences, as far as what happened when I was in Denver, going to two Super Bowls in 4 years, and how we kind of did things over there to help each player get better. I think by playing, I hope, by going out there, doing things on the field, creating disruption, making tackles, sacks, and trying to help everybody else make plays.
This experience is better leadership. That's what this team needs.
Yep. All right, so we know Sunday did not go very well.
Mm-hmm.
So tell the fans why they should not panic, even though it's preseason, but that's what we saw.
She's a rough one. I think it's the preseason. We have to go out there. We're still meshing and we're still gelling. Even though, you know, we practice together and we practice against a team once for 2 days, you know, we still have some things we need to work out as far as communication and just learning each other and learning what we're going to do. And it's about knocking rust off and adjusting yourself to this year and what teams are doing and trying to just learn how to get better and go out there and do it. So I think it's about, first, a lot of people trying to protect themselves, and then, two, going out there, knocking rust off, being able to adjust and get back into the mode of 100-mile-an-hour football. Yeah.
You're doing good.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Jags fans can now take a collective deep breath and say, all right, September 11th, it's going to happen.
That's when the real bullets start.
Aaron Rodgers, will be on the ground, and Jags fans will end up with a W at Everbank Field. We like to nickname Jacksonville Saxonville.
Yeah.
Certainly getting a lot of sacks will be helpful.
Big Scooter showed us. He made a tank top for that. So that was pretty dope.
Do you have a tank yet?
I have a few tanks.
Okay.
I've been working out. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah.
I've been working out a lot, so I got to go buy new ones, you know, but
sounds fantastic. All right, that concludes our football interview with Malik Jackson, although I have a feeling Donna may sneak in a few football questions in the next segment. She doesn't want to
be nice.
She doesn't want to ask just personality questions. We will pick your brain about kind of Malik Jackson off the field as we return with Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson here at Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, live from Empire City Gastropub on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, live from Empire City Gastropub. All the food that I see is looking delicious.
Awesome. Can't wait to eat it.
Malik, what are you going to order? Do you know yet?
I got the chicken and dumplings, and then...
That's one of Jordan's favorites.
What else did I get?
Are you still on your diet?
Yeah, I'm always on my diet. I'm always trying to watch the lumpia.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
In fact, we have one right there if you want to do a taste.
But yeah, I'm always trying to watch the figure.
Buy one, get one free appetizers for people who are headed out. Includes the lumpia, as well as things like beer battered pork belly, pigs in a blanket, wings, and the Jacksonville poutine, which is with American cheese, gravy, and hot sauce, in case you know what poutine is. Do you know?
Huh?
Do you know what poutine is?
Poutine? Poutine.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
No, yeah, it lied to me.
It's so those ingredients that I mentioned, the American cheese, gravy, and hot sauce, that it gets poured over freshly cut French fries.
Ooh.
So freshly cut potatoes that are turned into French fries, and then they put all that stuff
amazing.
On top.
Not on your
it's
diet.
It's a Canadian
right?
thing. I learned someone that I know very closely watches a lot of Food Network, so wow. I learn a lot of
do
that
Do they
stuff.
Cook just as well as they watch, as, or do they just watch
they
it?
They actually cook very well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
do you cook?
I cook.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your
specialty?
Yeah, what's your best?
I can do spaghetti, like carbonara thing. I try to bake and then the mixed vegetables. I try to spice it up.
Yum.
I can do sloppy joes very well.
Wow.
Do you open the can?
Huh?
Do you open the can?
Oh, yeah.
Manwich is good.
Of course. Manwich is good. Very simple. I love it. I don't know. I stay away from chicken. I'm not ready to cook chicken. I don't want to kill myself, so I stay away from chicken. I know how to cook a lot of things. Yeah, I'm okay. A man of many masks.
You're very simple.
Yes.
Jaguars defensive
like
tackle Malik Jackson. Don't let him cook for you.
No. Not really a chef. That's fine.
But we're about to learn a lot about him. Amanda, what kind of questions have you asked Malik in the locker room?
Oh, I cannot say those on the air. Those are terrible questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, Malik gets in a lot of trouble in the locker room. No, I know that you and a lot of the D-linemen mess around a lot. You're really goofy. So uh-huh. I don't know who the funniest D-lineman is.
The funniest.
You can't pick yourself.
I wouldn't. Don't worry. These guys are characters. I think Sendarek's funny. He's funny. Roy's actually pretty funny, too. He's quiet, but he's funny in the meeting rooms. But on the defense, I'll tell you, Prince is funny. Yeah, I think Prince takes the cake. He's a funny guy.
Can you spell his last name?
Amukamura? No.
He didn't even try.
I didn't even try. No, I'm sorry.
You can say it, though. That was,
yeah,
that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I can say it, but yeah. No.
So you know who the funniest is. What about the stinkiest? Who's the stinkiest
no.
guy in the locker room?
I know, personally, I take like 5 showers a day, so I'm not worried about anybody else's hygiene.
So it's
I can't,
not you.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
all
not,
you can say.
Nah, everybody, when I walk by somebody, they smell fine to me, and I'm not, that's what I was close on getting to, so yeah.
What about movies on your time off?
You I like
comedy, drama, action?
I like all of them. I was just watching Salt came on before I got here, so I was watching Salt. Yeah, that was a pretty dope movie.
Do you have a favorite?
What's my favorite? I like a lot of movies. Like, you have to give me time to think about it, because it's a lot. It's a lot. The one about the space is my favorite right now, the one that came out a few years ago.
Gravity?
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh. Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Love that movie. Yeah.
That's an awesome movie. It's long.
It's long, but it'll make
there.
You think.
It'll make you think, though.
When you said the one about the space, I was like, Star Wars, Star Trek.
No, there's
Star Trek. Where
are we going with
this? I have to see Star Trek, and there's another one that just came out where... he was the guy, like, he does, like, the TV show on CNN or whatever, and he does, like, money talk, and he gets hijacked, or what, his show gets hijacked or whatever.
Yes.
The Clooney,
George
I think
Clooney.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see that one, too, so.
Okay.
Let's see.
Any other movie questions?
I actually do have Well, I do have one movie question because I did an interview with Peyton Thompson today, who's a safety for the Jaguars, mm-hmm. for those who don't know. And I asked him his favorite movie villain, and he told me Vince Vaughn.
Vince
And I gave
Vaughn.
Him a hard time because Vince Vaughn is not a villain.
Hilarious, but not
right.
a villain.
No, he's not. What movie
not
is he
at all.
Talking about?
I don't know. It was very weird.
The breakup.
So give him a hard
school.
Time about that.
Old
yeah,
school.
I don't know.
He was to the girl,
no
she
idea.
Wasn't his best friend.
Terrible. Terrible villain choice. Do you have a better movie villain that's your favorite?
I mean, the new movie I just saw, the Joker, he did a little cameo, and he did a pretty good job.
Okay.
Showed his love for his girl. That was pretty dope. Yeah, that's the newest
okay.
one we
that's
saw.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Maybe
you're better than
Thompson's
Vince Vaughn.
Afraid of Vince Vaughn's forehead.
Like, what was your first job?
My first job. My mom, she said since I played football, I got good grades, I never had to work. So I didn't
nice.
Get, this is all I've been doing. Pretty,
that's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, pretty blessed. Yeah, not
wow.
too shabby.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, Malik, you have a twin brother, correct?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he plays the Chicago Bears, correct?
Yeah, but I look way better than he does. So, yeah.
Are you identical or fraternal?
Identical.
Okay.
But just to set the line.
Right.
That's...
But
so
he's a defensive
you...
end, so he's a little yeah. smaller, right?
Yeah, he. I tell you, I've been working out a lot. So not too many people are too much bigger than me.
So are you older then?
He's older by 7 minutes.
7 whole minutes.
My mom's a warrior.
What's the best trick you've ever played on someone being a twin?
See, we never really did that because I didn't like, I want to be like myself. You know, everybody called us like twin, and it was cool. You know, I didn't really care, but, you know, you want to be yourself, and yeah. I think that's so. We never really did anything crazy. Plus, I didn't want him ruining my grades or my things.
You
or my
didn't
teachers.
Trust him.
Nah, so it was like, you know, you do your thing, I do my thing, we'll be all right.
Yeah. How often did you get mistaken for one another?
All the time.
Yeah.
But in our school, we didn't wear uniforms, so it was cool just to, like,
that's good.
You know, dress up, be yourself a little bit.
What's sometimes. The one thing that you guys always fought about?
Fought about. Well, we did, even though we had a big closet, we did share the closet. So I think about like clothes like that. And in football, I had a lot of gold. My high school was blue and gold, and I had a lot of gold accent stuff. And he would steal it and act like it was his. And it was embarrassing because you knew it was mine, you know. But that's how it was. Yeah.
So in Denver versus Jacksonville, how often did you get recognized there versus getting recognized here?
I mean, I think the same. You know, I mean, Jackson was a big city. Yeah, I don't go to many places, to be honest with you, these last few days. So but since I've gotten here, you know, you go to the bars or you go to restaurants, so people know who I am, you know, so it's cool.
Especially Tennessee Volunteers, right?
Especially the Volunteer fans, you know, those are the best. Go Vols, by the way, yeah.
Well, speaking of the Vols, they're looking good going into the season, and the head coach just admitted that the pressure's on for them to win. How do you think they're going to go?
I think they'll do good. I think he's done a good job with his four-year plan. I think he's been getting kids in there to really believe in what he believes in, to buy into his program and believe in him. I think this year they're going to take off. I'm rooting for him.
Why did you transfer to Tennessee?
The Reggie Bush thing went down with Coach Carroll, and he was about to get out of there, and the NCAA gave us the opportunity to leave without any repercussions. So it was either Tennessee or Kent State, and I went to Tennessee. Yeah.
Smart.
If you didn't play football, what would you do?
I don't know. I think about it all the time. I'm glad I played football, you know.
No plan B is what
no plan
is
B.
I mean, now plan B is just all the way in the rearview mirror. So I'm good. I'm pretty good now. So I just got to keep working at this.
Okay. So Malik, I went to Florida.
Okay.
You went to Tennessee.
That's a bad decision.
yep. So bad that we've won 11 years in a row.
Yeah, it's okay. So I look in the future. Can I talk to somebody else now? Yeah.
So, I obviously hate the Vols, and she obviously hates Peyton, so you're only going to be able to look at these two for the
it's
rest
okay.
of the
we're
night.
We're fine. We're
it's
good.
Okay.
You
we're
can
good.
Hang with us.
We're
yeah,
good.
We're
yeah.
good.
I'm horse blinders on right now.
Have you ever thought about once pro football ends, mm-hmm. kind of tailgating and stuff like that for college football games?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. You know, I think that'd be cool just to go check out because, you know, a lot of experiences that people, there's a lot of, I don't get to have the same experience as everybody else, and neither vice versa for me. So just to be able to go see what they go through and how they party in the parking lot atmosphere, it'd be dope. I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm.
You've never been able to tailgate, right?
Nah.
Yeah.
Not really. Mm-mm.
No.
Not full on like experience tailgate.
Yeah.
Nah, I like walk through a parking lot. Me and my buddy Mike Rivera, who plays for the Raiders now, he's tight end. We went to go see our buddy. He played at Kentucky, so we had a bye week. We drove up there, went to go see him, and we like walked through the parking lot. It looked a lot of fun, but never got to participate.
Did you feel out of place? What is this, a tailgate?
I was amazed about how fun it is. You know, you think the party's in the stadium, but not really.
You don't know anything.
Not really at all.
Georgia.
You know? Yeah, so I mean.
Well, you should tell him what game he needs to learn by playing water before he goes to.
Oh, play water pong. Yeah. Well, you can play flip cup with water, and then you can actually. This is our strategy, anyways. We party at the tailgate, and then at the very end, we all play flip cup. But if you've had a few too many, you play with water instead, so you can. That's
smart.
What I do, anyways.
Continue.
So I can actually remember the game.
That's just a little tip. That's.
But some people say you're not allowed to play with water.
Yeah, that's
yeah, me, because you shouldn't have had too many beforehand.
Right? Yeah, you can't want to play the game and then sober yourself up while playing the game.
I'm trying to save myself up so I can watch the real game, not the artificial one that we just play at the tailgate.
Do you have any superstitions that you do every Sunday?
I think I have a routine.
Okay.
I wake up, of course.
That's
hopefully.
Good.
That's a start.
Yes,
yeah,
that's a good
that's
way
a
to
great start.
Start. Yes.
Well, now because the games are won, to be honest with you, like, I don't know. I think I'll wake up. I'll go do the cryo or go home, eat breakfast, drive to go see, do like the cryotherapy. You know, get frozen real quick, get some new blood. Go to the stadium, get stretched out. your mind right, play.
Is there like a certain song or anything, a certain sock you have to wear?
No socks. I just hope my outfit matches. That's all I try to do.
And you don't get fined.
Yes, exactly. Yes. No, but I just try to listen. I mean, I guess going there, I guess I'll listen to rap music, you know, get you going a little bit. And then after the game, I'll listen to like some R&B just to calm down, just to like, you know, relax, not be too hyped up. So it's, yeah, no routine. I mean, just routines, no simple sessions.
Okay. Do you... defensive tackle Malik Jackson joining us.
Totally ruined that for you.
No, you're good. Go for it.
Do you remember the first time you met Gus Bradley and what that was like?
Yeah, when I signed. It was awesome. great guy, you know, just super enthusiastic, you know, a lot of energy, but, you know, you just... Once he talks to you, you feel and you look him in the eyes and you grasp the message that he's trying to say. And, you know, you really want to go win for him. You know, he's a guy who gives his all. He gives you all of him. He doesn't, you know, he's not fake at all. You know, I think he's very genuine. And the lessons he teaches us every day is just, you know, to have a genuine appreciation. And that's what we try to have. And, you know, it's a guy you want to win for. So I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad we can, you know, get working. I'm excited to see what this year has. And I'm ready to go win for that guy.
I can see the excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like giddy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Malik, we ask every Jaguar player this question.
Okay.
Who is your favorite Disney princess?
Disney princess. Mm-hmm. Well, see, my daughter's only 8 months, so we don't
She's
know any princesses.
Yet.
Yeah.
None yet? You didn't grow up on Disney movies?
I mean, yeah, I know, like, Aladdin's girl.
Jasmine.
She's a popular one.
I don't, the mermaid girl.
You need to be a better girl dad. Your daughter is going to need to know her princesses at some point.
She will. When she's ready to introduce me to it, I'll be ready to.
Okay.
I'll show her all that stuff.
You know, there is thing where if they were to actually, like, create what the princesses looked like in the movies in real life, they would not be healthy females. So you can always, you know, mention that to her as she gets a little older. Those women are not necessarily real women's bodies.
At 3 months, right. At 2 years, I'm like, Nala, those are not women's bodies. You should know those are not
right.
Women's.
So, right.
Stop watching the cartoon and know.
There you go. I like that idea.
I like that idea too.
Yeah, make her feel self-confident right from the get-go.
Exactly.
So most of your games with the Broncos, I'm going to assume we're at 4:25, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so is it going to be a little different kicking off at 1 o'clock?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it's an adjustment we got to make. I think just, you know, sun's a lot higher in the sky, a little hotter down here, you know, just... It's a little different. Things got to speed up. I got to get used to waking up and get going a little faster. But, you know, it's all just, it's challenges that I'm glad to have. You know, nothing's too crazy. Nothing's too overwhelming. Everything's pretty adaptable. So it's nice.
Now, I know you do this for a living, but do you watch it? So yeah. You'll have your Sunday nights now. Will you go home and watch?
Yeah, I watch Sunday night, especially if it's a team we're playing the next week or one of my friends are playing or if we play them soon. I'll watch it. I have two TVs on my wall, so I put one on the game and put it on mute, and then I watch whatever else I want to watch. So,
Disney movies.
Yes, Disney movies, exactly.
Gotta study the princess.
Exactly. Are there any teams for you as a personal rivalry?
Personal rivalry?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the Bronco game. That's I've been thinking about that a lot. That's like week 12, but
December 4th.
Talk about looking in the future, but
that you just gotta wake up for it.
Yeah, exactly. Raiders game because, you know, like I said, my buddy plays for them. Of course, the Texans game because, you know, I know the Colts very well, played them. So I'm excited for this for the whole season. You know, just to go out there and just try to. Just win.
I like it. Just win.
Was there anyone growing up that you tried to emulate your play after?
I liked Ray Lewis growing up. You know, just purely just on the field, just watching him do his thing and the intensity he had and the way he did it. You know, it was awesome. You know, and him, Julius Peppers. It's amazing they're still in the league now. And I was like 13, 14 watching them. So. Yeah.
It's impressive.
Do you have your Super Bowl ring out?
Oh, yeah, I got it. I should have worn
it out. Yeah, where is it?
It's locked up in a box. I mean, you know, you look at it, it's an amazing accomplishment, but I'm still playing. Maybe if I was Peyton, I'd look at it a lot more, but now it's just, you know, what have you done for me lately? Got a new team, got some new things I need to take care of, so it's nice.
I like it. I like that answer.
Yeah.
All right, Malik, as we wrap up with you, tell Jaguar fans what they should expect from you this season?
From me?
You in particular.
I think you should specialize on go out there, play hard, play fast, get after the quarterback, try to make guys like Dante and Yannick and Jared, you know, better, and try to make the whole defense better. Be smart. Yeah.
Stay healthy.
That's huge. That's a huge part. Stay healthy. Just go out there, play hard-nosed football, and play fast, and, you know, go win some games.
Awesome. Nice. Going to go Jags from you.
Yeah, go Jags.
There you go.
You got a do ball.
That's right. Yeah, and you can give a do ball, too. Yeah.
A do ball. I have to practice in the mirror
right.
first. I'm sorry.
Right.
Hey, Jags fans, can you show Malik how a do ball's done?
There it is.
I was short with the word.
I get it.
The V.
That's
longer.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
You got it.
All right, fans, give it up for Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
We look forward to big things from you this season, Malik.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Can't wait to show you guys.
Yeah. That's right. A couple weeks, Jaguars kick off against the Packers September 11th at Everbank Field. The game is sold out. So, hope you have your tickets. It's going to be a blast. It'll be not quite as hot as it has been in training camp, at least for Malik. We'll dial the temperature down. All right, as we come back, we've got some more hot topics for you, and fans here are going to take some fun pictures with Malik. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010X on 2.5 FM, live from Empire City Gastropub.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Of course, a ginormous thank you to a very large man. Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson. Thank you so much for joining us here on Helmets and Heels. And we know he is about to delve into some delicious and delectable food here from Empire City Gastro Pub. And as you mentioned at the end of our interview with him, dear Amanda, that he needs to stay healthy.
Indeed.
And that's a very important thing. And so time now for the Farrah and Farrah injury update.
Oh. I was expecting some cool music. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
We typically have music for that. Okay.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Jaguars rookie defensive tackle Sheldon Day was back at practice today, which is fantastic news. He's been dealing with a back injury, so hopefully he gets some playing time against Atlanta on Thursday. Jaguars safety James Sample has been placed on IR with a shoulder injury. Offensive lineman Luke Bowenko has been placed on the PUP with a hip injury. And rookie defensive lineman Jonathan Woodard is also on the PUP with an Achilles injury.
And I will take the blame for not mentioning to our wonderful producers back at 1010 XL headquarters that we were going to do the injury update there. Yeah. It was on the rundown, but
they may
not have known.
Nope.
But to add to the injury update, thanks to Tyler Devert for sending this to me. Vikings, obviously there was a scary incident with Teddy Bridgewater, the quarterback, earlier, and here is the official statement.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
He has a torn ACL and a dislocated knee, but no nerve or arterial damage.
Okay.
One of the reasons you would rush someone to the hospital is if you think that there is, obviously, arterial damage, meaning the arteries are bleeding out.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons they would have rushed him in an ambulance, but there is none of that. He is, of course, then done for the year, and that's extremely unfortunate.
Terrible.
Considering it's A, practice, and B, not that the injuries get better, but it is still preseason practice.
And it was a non-contact injury.
During all of it.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, I know, for him. I think my thoughts always go out to the player, not so much the fans or the other players, but the player himself.
Yeah.
To have worked that hard to be in such a good position to lead the Vikings to potentially the postseason. And then just like that, things can change. One of the things, though, that I loved, I considered switching my stud at the last minute to head coach Mike Zimmer, who said, 7 years ago, my wife passed away, and you know what? The sun came up the next day. So we have to move on. We have to be able to adjust. things will get better for Teddy and for the team. And so I appreciated that he at least could recognize that while this was a tricky day for the Vikings, it isn't the end of the world. And football does mean a lot, but it doesn't mean everything.
I mean, you like to think that, but heading into the season, I think they're opening up their new stadium this season, too. Teddy Bridgewater was poised to have a really great season, and he's such a great kid. Him and his mom have a great relationship. He's a Louisville grad, so I followed him closely for a few years, and you just hate to see that happen to a kid like that. That's as good as him.
The description that I heard at practice was so scary to me because I can't even imagine it happening here where your quarterback goes down and you know it's bad and all the players are surrounding him literally on their knees praying and an ambulance comes and it's just a terrible, terrible scene and you don't wish that upon anyone. And the Vikings will be here. Is it December or November? That's when Jimmy Smith will be inducted into
December. Pride of the Jags. That is December. I want to say the midweek or the middle of December.
Yeah, the 11th.
11th. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Their backup quarterback is Sean Hill.
Sean Hill.
So,
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough situation. You don't want to face that as a head coach or as a player going into having surgery and things like that because you definitely have to have surgery to repair a torn ACL. All right, ladies. Earlier we heard a really poignant and eloquent response to the Colin Kaepernick situation by Donna Murphy. She, of course, being a military wife, as well as her brother being a police officer, had a strong reaction to it. And now I want to get the opinion from you ladies after a few days of digesting everything. Blythe, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Well, I heard so. I've been trying. I really pride myself on stuff like this to try and be understanding from all points of view and in all different sides. But upon, further research, it just seems like Colin Kaepernick is just an idiot who's getting attention. And regardless of his stance that, he what he sees whenever he looks at the flag, regardless of what he sees, and I realize that not a lot of people grew up in the America that we idolize, and so a lot of people will look at the flag and they'll think negative things, but for him to... I think there's alternative motives in this particular situation. I think that there's certain situations in this country that need to be addressed, and they are continuing to be addressed. But for him to make this statement, I think it screams to me that he has alternative motives and that it's not genuine. I feel like he's trying to get his way out of San Francisco. He wants out no matter what, and he's been trying to do this the entire offseason. So I think this is just the straw that broke the camel's back, and I think he wants to get paid, and I think he'll eventually get cut, and then no other team will sign him because of this. And I think that he's going to lose this platform that he's trying to develop in order to preach his beliefs.
I appreciate when professional football players and even celebrities use their platform to take a stand for something that they're passionate about. And when they have an opinion on something, they don't just sit back and not say anything. So I appreciate the fact that he wants to use his platform for something he believes strongly in. However, the way he's doing it is completely inappropriate and wrong. And I was trying to figure out if he's offended people intentionally and said, look, I know I'm going to offend people by taking a stand and acting this way, but I'm going to do it anyway, or if he just never thought about that at all. Like, I can't figure that part out. Regardless, I think it's so totally wrong. Not standing up for the national anthem doesn't do anything to defend people that you say are oppressed. Like, that does not accomplish what you're doing at all. And so I think he's going about it the completely wrong way. And if he wants to take a stand, do something else. The image that sticks out to me is, and there are so many military images that are floating around, a lot of military members are speaking out saying, hey, like, I served and what you're doing is completely disrespectful. And there's one that stuck out and he said, listen, if you think there are people that are oppressed in this country, you need to travel to other countries and then you'll see real oppression. And that really stood out to me because Colin Kaepernick makes millions of dollars. And what he is saying, yes, people are being treated poorly, but not supporting the flag, that doesn't accomplish anything at all.
And he talked about being oppressed and he was answering questions about this, about him not standing for the anthem. And he's wearing a Fidel Castro shirt.
Right.
Like he's probably, I say best, dictator of all time, but he was a dictator, and there are people that were leaving that country on makeshift boats to come to this country and he's wearing a Fidel Castro shirt while talking about oppression. Like, it just,
and that's what to me pushes his agenda of, hey, look at me, talk about
exactly.
me. Even if you don't agree with it, this is what I want. I want you to be talking about me.
And what's interesting is that you look back at his the past year where he's sort of a loner. He's not a leader in the locker room, and that's what you want your quarterback to be. You want him to be a leader in the locker room.
Right.
And to me, this is different from Muhammad Ali, who played in an individual sport. You are supposed to be the leader of this team. You're supposed to be fighting for this job, and this is the way that you're conducting yourself. You're it's okay to voice your political opinions, but at work, it's also okay for me to call you an idiot and your employer to fire you.
Colin Kaepernick took a stand, and it's funny to say took a stand considering he sat down
right.
and supposed to be standing.
He took a sit.
But he was feeling like he was able to get his message out there when people would be watching. If he was to do it in a different way, none of this media attention would have been brought to the message that he's trying to send about the fact that black people are being oppressed in this country by police officers, right? That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
I understand where he's going with trying to get the message out on the biggest possible platform. I get that. If he wants to do that, that's perfectly fine. But at the same time, I think he also needs to be ready to take action with what he's trying to accomplish.
Right.
If he's going to plan on playing football this season and spending his money however he wants, then he's not doing anything for the message other than being a coward and saying, well, you know what, I decided I was not strong enough to fight for our country and then play football after. Or, you know what, now I believe there are some things that need to be done differently in this country. Let me quit playing football and go become a police officer to do good things in our community. Those are the types of big actions that take effect, like what Pat Tillman did. You can't just sit down and expect the world to change. You can't sit down and expect that the beliefs that you have are going to then impact people's lives if all you're doing is sitting down.
Right.
I can't expect for my future and my career and my children's future to change because I sit in a chair. What you have to do is go out and take action, and that's the biggest thing that he has not done. And I fully support people who want to make sure that the people that they grew up with in their community is treated fairly. By all means, go do something about it. And while there's a lot of talk, obviously, about how he's anti-American, I don't think he's anti-American. He's saying, because I live in the greatest country in the world, I get to be able to choose my right to do what I want during the national anthem. That is American. That is our way of life, because we have freedom of speech. But you also have freedom of action. Mm-hmm. So go and do what you are saying is not done justly in this country.
And that's kind of like what Dwayne Wade said. These problems were not invented overnight, and they're not going to be cured overnight. You have to do your part and take that step by step and to make be the change you wish to see. And you know, as corny as that sounds, but my problem with this is that you scroll through his social media feeds, it's a bunch of generalizations and
yeah.
a bunch of cliches. Nothing is specific. And then he gets up onto a podium and he talks about these same generalizations and these same cliches. And to me, all it is just he's feeding into media propaganda, and the media propaganda only focuses on rare instances of, you know, police violence and things like that, because they are rare and because they do make for a story. And so he's focusing on the very rare occurrences versus something that he could have a direct impact, and he could go into some of these communities, he can donate money, he can donate his time, and he's not doing either of those things. And he can talk about using his platform to voice, you know, for a greater good, but is this going to turn into one of those things where, like, after the ESPYs, where we talk about it for a couple days and then nobody else mentions it? Like, I want to see what's next for Kaepernick. Obviously, it's not playing in the NFL, because
right.
I don't know that anybody wants to deal with a lack of talent and a guy who's lost 30 pounds in the last year who's supposed to be prepping for an NFL season, but he's going home and he's not necessarily watching film and he's retweeting propaganda, which I don't know that another NFL team in the country would want to take on that risk.
These issues for me are completely different. Like, fighting for what he's talking about is totally different than respecting and honoring the flag that represents the freedom in which you live your life by. That's totally different than fighting for people that are oppressed. Our country's never been perfect. That doesn't mean that you sit back and say, oh, well, I'm just going to take for granted my freedom and not pay attention to anyone who's fought or lost their lives just so I could say what I want and be who I want. Those are two completely different things. So don't take this out on not standing up for the national anthem. Go donate money, donate your time, volunteer, speak out and talk about maybe giving examples of how other people can help. But not standing for the national anthem is totally, totally wrong and has nothing to do with what you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly. Well, to all of the current and former or current military active duty and the veterans here with us, thank you for your services.
Yes,
to all
absolutely.
The current police officers or former police officers, thank you for your services. We as Helmets and Heels are proud to say that we are thankful for the country in which we live, the greatest country on earth. And it is because of people like you that we get to do things like this. So thank you very much. We're going to give away a Peterburg chocolate heel on the other side, as well as reveal some Twitter poll results and a few more hot fun topics to get to as we kind of take a deep breath and get off that very heavy subject. Thanks for coming out to hang out with us, and thanks for tuning in to Helmets and Heels built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010X on 2.5 FM.
Jaguars football by women for women and men. Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes. We are with you every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We usually go to Fat Tony once we're done, but the Fat Tony show, just for now, is going to take a little hiatus. He's a little busy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is, yep. And T-Wig is going to take over once we are done. So, ladies,
yay.
It's our final segment here at Empire City Gastro Pub. Amanda, did you get to see the chicken and dumplings that Malik Jackson ordered?
They were basically gone when I went back there to check out what he was eating.
But, I've never heard of chicken and dumplings come with Czech plum stuffed dumplings. That sounds an incredible twist on regular chicken and dumplings. Too bad you didn't get to taste it.
I didn't get to taste it. I was not about to take food from that man. I was not going to be that person to do that, so I didn't. But he was happy, I can tell you that.
I think that was smart. Have y'all decided what you're going to order?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Hawaiian tuna salad.
Hawaiian tuna salad. Blythe, will you be ordering that to go?
Maybe. Because I live like 5 minutes away, so yes, I'm dreaming of my house right now.
Dreaming of it.
There are so many good options on here, and for our show tonight, we thank Corey, the owner, for the delicious buy one, get one free appetizers that I saw everybody enjoy, and as well as we did. All right, ladies, we asked for people to vote for, well, not really vote, but to tell us their most memorable college football game they've ever attended. College football starts, really gets into high gear this weekend. So to win the Peterburg chocolate heel, they just had to text into the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford, 641-1010, the most memorable college football game they've ever attended. You'd think it was an easy question. Let's see, Tyler, what kind of good responses have we gotten tonight?
All right, I've got two, and I want you guys to choose from these two. So the first one,
right,
Miami,
we will vote.
Miami versus Boston College, Hale Flutie. He was a Canes fan. He was 15 yards away from the catch.
Oh, wow.
And so he was disappointed there. And the other one, it wasn't really necessarily a game, but it was more so seeing a player. And Justin in Seattle said, seeing Michael Vick playing right here in the Gator Bowl and watching him throw almost the full length of the field during warm-ups.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
It's really cool. As much as I dislike Miami, I'm going to have to go, though, with the Doug Flutie.
Flutie.
Game.
You have to.
Yeah,
you really
the
have
catch.
To.
Yeah, you have
catch.
To go with the catch.
Yeah,
they're
Boston
the winner.
College was a happy fan base that
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely.
That's
they
for
get
sure.
to play in Dublin. Saturday morning.
Yep, they
That's
sure do.
Crazy.
And then Jacksonville will have Navy Notre Dame here.
Yes, November.
I go Irish in my head, Dublin, Ireland. I go straight to Notre Dame.
I was like, how did we get there?
Irish.
To Notre That's, Dame.
I was explaining because I know I made a little bit of a leap there. yeah, so Florida State Ole Miss this coming weekend.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe college football season's here already, to be honest with you. It won't feel real until I watch that first game. And I've specifically made no plans this weekend so I can only watch college football because
Amanda,
that's all I want to do.
Are you trying to tell people that normally you make plans?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many friends that I'm so busy all the time. I had to cancel with so many people this week. No.
Oh, yeah. You just automatically, no. You have talked about how excited you are.
Oh, I'm so excited. I cannot wait. And I was thinking today, that Monday's game will almost feel like the national championship for Florida State, because when they won, it was a Monday night, too.
Well, yeah, the championship game is always Monday night.
Right, yeah, right. And so typically we're on, you know, Saturday, and so you're not following.
No, I get it.
Okay. I'm just really excited.
Florida State Miami a lot of times was on the Monday night to kick off football season, so that's what I go to in my mind, a lot of the wide lefts, wide rights. Blythe, you're not the biggest college football fan.
Of course you go there. Like, why didn't you even have to bring that up?
It happened to both teams. Whatever. Florida State and Miami.
Yeah, it's cool.
No, I'm definitely a football fan of all. I just don't have, besides Louisville, I don't have a specific team that I ride or die for. But I mean, this is going to be the best opening weekend of college football they're talking about in history. So I follow more of the whole scope of it. I know, you know, we live in SEC country and most people are focused on that, but I follow nationally, you know, across, you know, state to state. Even that Alabama USC game.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game.
The best game of the weekend, I think.
We live in SEC country and ACC country. I'll pander to the Florida State fans.
Of course,
Louisville's
in the ACC.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, so when is your Vegas trip?
I leave Thursday morning.
Ooh.
So you're going to have to try to balance Vegas with college football.
Well, there's TVs everywhere in Vegas, so I feel like I'll be pretty set.
Is this your fifth trip to Vegas in the past year?
It's my first in like 3 years.
Oh. Yeah. I swear you just went to Vegas.
I went to Nashville.
I know, but
it's Vegas.
Nash Vegas. That's what I was thinking.
All right, ladies, another former Ohio State player. I brought up my dud earlier being an Ohio State player, but a former Ohio State player got into a little bit of hot water recently in Ezekiel Elliott, now the running back for the Cowboys, because he visited a pot shop. Do you think that was the world's worst move by Elliott, visiting a place that sells marijuana, or do you think it was yet again today's media just trying to make something out of nothing?
It was a little bit of both. I understand his curiosity, because I'd probably be curious too, going to a state where it's legal and it's not here. But he has to understand that he's under the microscope 24/7, so you can't do things with the freedom that you would if you were not Ezekiel Elliott. But if you didn't do anything wrong, it's a story because of the fact that he walked into a weed shop and it was legal and he could have purchased it if he wanted to. He didn't. But I think too much has been made of this.
I think it's a little bit of optics. Like, obviously, it's bad optics to not only go into the store, but then also pose for pictures at the store or outside of the store. But I think it's one of those things. I heard Ryan Russillo, he gave a really good break, or not a really good breakdown, but just a different perspective. And he said when he was 18 or 19 years old, they took a trip. It was a class trip to Amsterdam. And he just walked into these stores because it's legal. Everything is legal in Amsterdam. And he just walked in out of curiosity. And so I'd like to think that's what Zeke was doing, walking into that store out of curiosity. But I took him in my fantasy draft last night, so let's just hope that he doesn't have any more slip-ups and focuses on football.
Well, I believe that I heard that most NFL players are really only tested between, like, April and July.
Yeah.
So if he did go into, I mean, we know he did go into the weed shop, but assuming he didn't purchase anything and he only went in for curiosity, then he's fine. But even if he didn't go in just for curiosity, the window that he's going to be tested in is not for several months after the entire season.
No, so he's going to really surprise drug test anytime.
No.
But I think if you're him, there's a camera on you going in. You understand that there's probably also a camera on you when you're in there.
Of course.
You're allowed to go in and just explore. And if you obviously are under the microscope in both places, then I think it's perfectly fine. You're not supposed to live a life that no one can criticize you. You're supposed to live a life where you do the right things according to your contract. Your contract doesn't say you can't go in there. If Jerry Jones gets mad at you, well, you know what? Jerry Jones has done all sorts of dumb things in his life, too. So I think Elliot's fine in this case. But, Blythe, we'll see if, there are any issues along the way. He
Hopefully
certainly
not.
should give you some major points now that Romo's out for at least half the year.
And
he
slid to me in the draft last night. I made a 10-person draft, and he was my second pick.
Wow.
Slid all that way. I was like, dumbass.
I'll take your money.
Well, a lot of people nowadays, speaking of fantasy, a lot of people nowadays are not taking running backs that early. They want to take quarterbacks and wide receivers. Yeah, because not a lot of NFL teams are going to run first or run
except
often.
Except for the Cowboys, who have the best O-line in the league. And is, Zeke is going in average, the ADP drafts, he's going eighth overall. So average draft position, he's going eighth overall. So he slid to me with the 20th pick. So it was really, it was a value pick. That's how I say, if one tip for fantasy football season is let the board come to you. And that's what I did.
I like that tip. Thanks for that after I already did my draft.
Oh, you should have came to me first.
Yeah, I know.
And he gave me
you did the Hacker Fantasy League draft last Thursday. How did that go?
It was fantastic. Don't ask me everyone on our team because I don't know because I left early because that's how dedicated I am to my sleep.
Dedicated you are to your sleep.
Yes.
My first draft will be, well, first live draft. And in my family league, we do an auto draft. So I don't never know when that is, and I don't really care. But the first live draft that I'll do is next Wednesday at 10 p.m., so I'm glad you brought up sleeping.
What?
Yes.
10 p.m.?
The two options are Tuesday night at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., which I will be at the U.S. soccer game. Sorry to the helmets and heels, but I'll be there. And then the...
Can you call in live from the soccer game?
I could. I'm not going to choose not to.
What the heck? What a team player she is.
I can call in before the game starts. What is it? Kickoff at 8 p.m., right? So I could call in between before the game actually kicks off.
Goodness gracious.
I'm not going to call in while
it's
going on.
I know.
No, not at all. You are people who want a quality interview, and I will be in a very loud, rambunctious
Whatever.
Area.
It's so fine.
I wanted to make sure
we don't want to talk to you at the game anyway. It's cool. It's totally cool.
I hope I'll be alive on Tuesday.
Yeah. Looks like it's going to be the Amanda show, folks. So get ready
That. Because Donna's probably not going to be there. Blythe is going to be hungover. And Amanda, you'll have to take it.
I'll be alive and kicking, so tune in.
Yeah, well, I think in the meantime, we should recruit some people. little Rachel over there who came.
Rachel.
She's about six years old, I think. She wants to join you guys. So there you go. You have a special guest now.
Boom.
All right, many people to thank tonight. First and foremost, Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson for joining us for a full two segments as we picked his brain about on and off the field stuff. Our lovely and talented Donna Murphy, who despite pneumonia came out and hang out with us. Engineer Andrew Gibson for putting all of this together. Producers extraordinaire Jordan DeArmond and Tyler Devitt. And as we wrap up, Blythe, tell everybody the winning Twitter poll result.
As we asked earlier in the show, after three preseason games, what's your confidence level in the Jags beating the Packers? And it looks like 10% 45% of people pick 10% chances against Packers.
Well, there we go. We'll see it happen in 2 weeks. That's the next time I'll be on the show with you ladies.
Exciting.
I know. I look forward to wrapping up or recapping that game. Many thanks also to the owner, Corey, here at Empire City Gastro Pub.
What a great place.
And finally, of course, thanks to all the fans for coming out to hang out with us / Malik. If you just came out to hang out with him, that's perfectly fine.
But
really, thanks to all the staff here as well. And as we count down our goodbyes, ladies, can we at least show Malik a proper Duval as we exit?
All right. Yeah, let's do
it. 1, 2, 3. Duval!
Thanks for checking out the podcast for Helmets and Heels. As a friendly reminder, you can always check out the latest on our Twitter feed at Helmets and Heels or on our website at guysgirl.com / Helmets and Heels.